Welcome to episode 135. It's Dr. Jimmy. Today's episode is going to cover fly control. But before we get started, this is your friendly invitation to come hang out with me on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me by searching Dr. Jimmy Feed Room Chemist, or you can just type in my handle, which is at Dr. Jimmy, and that's spelled D-R-J-Y-M-E. And while you are there, please leave me a review, particularly on the Dr. Jimmy Facebook page, or if you post your own testimonial about how Feed Room Chemist has impacted your life, be sure to tag at Dr. Jimmy. I will be sharing listener testimonials, and if I select your story or your review, you will get a cool little token of appreciation sent straight from me. Oh, posting a photo with your testimony or with your story is definitely going to increase your chances of being selected. So I'd love to see those photos with those testimonies and those reviews. I am making an effort to provide more free content to all of you this year, and I certainly could not do that without the support of everyone at Bluebonnet. So if you are liking this, be sure to go let them know. You can request a free nutrition consult by filling out a form online at bluebonnetfeeds.com/nutrition-consult, and that will get you connected with a nutrition consultant who is more than happy to help you navigate this crazy world of equine nutrition and help support your needs. All right, let's get on with the show. So fly season is definitely upon us. I have already begun my feed through fly supplement. My fly boots are on all of my horses. My first order of fly predators are on the way. Our manure pile is getting hauled away this week and our pastures are getting harrowed. So we are ready. But while in the midst of preparing all of this for my own horses, it occurred to me like, hey, this would make a really good podcast episode. So, I mean, I think what happens is a lot of people, they tend to be a little bit reactionary when it comes to fly control. They don't even think about flies until flies are everywhere and becoming truly obnoxious. Or maybe we think fly spray is the only tool. The reality is fly control is a whole thing. It's a preventative approach to managing the fly population to the lowest tolerable level, okay? So we'll never be able to completely eliminate flies, but there's a lot that we can do to keep them manageable and help our horses tolerate their presence. Now, before we get too far into this, like, why do we even care? Well, because flies zap your horse's energy and they can cause physical and emotional stress. I mean, how would you like it if house flies lived in the corners of your eyes for 5 months of the year? What would it be like if you had to stomp your bad leg 5,750 times a day? How would you feel if stable flies were constantly biting and sucking your blood, right? This sounds miserable. And your horse thinks so too. And it's impossible for your horse to show up as their best self for your 1 hour ride if they're spending the other 23 hours a day battling flies and battling insects. So we're going to go through some tips and some tricks for implementing a fully comprehensive fly control program into your own barn. Now, since this podcast is centered on nutrition and things that we feed to horses, I guess it makes sense to start by talking about feed through fly control, also known as IGR, which stands for insect growth regulator. So an IGR is a substance that inhibits the life cycle of an insect. So there are different IGRs on the market that can be formulated into a feed or into a supplement, and they are safe for consumption. So they don't actually do anything in the animal's body. What they do is they pass out of the horse's digestive system. So they pass through the digestive system and they end up in the manure, and that's where it helps prevent flies from going on and developing. A feed through fly control is basically preventing that fly from being able to develop by stopping or inhibiting a stage of development within that fly's life cycle. So there are different active ingredients available on the market, and the type of drug that's used is going to vary depending on brand. So just be sure to check the feeding rates and do the math on your cost per day. Okay, so don't just look at the price of a pail and decide based off of that, because cheaper doesn't necessarily mean better if your feeding rates are way higher. I did the cost calculations, just to give you some perspective. I did cost calculations and I ended up going with a brand that's going to cost right at 50 cents a day per horse. So I've already got my horses started on that product. And it's a product that you just feed one time daily. So it just is a tiny amount. I think it's half an ounce gets mixed in on top of, my horse's evening grain ration. Now, when you are using feed through fly control, it is critical that all of the horses on the premises are receiving the IGR. Okay, you can't feed it to two or three horses and then let the other 10 head just rock on with nothing, because that leaves you with 10 head of horses that are still actively cultivating the fly life cycle through their manure. Okay, so everyone needs to be on the IGR for it to be the most effective in your barn. And unfortunately, if you have close neighbors or if there are other animals that are bordering your horse and those animals are not on an IGR, that can limit your results. Okay. I still believe that it's worth doing though. So for example, there's large pastures with cattle that border basically all sides of our property where the horse barn is located. And one of those sides is a neighbor fence. Okay, so meaning neighbor owned cattle, we can't control them. We're not gonna go just plop IGR out for cattle that we don't own, right? And I'm 99% sure that this neighbor does not use IGR for his cattle. But that's not gonna stop me from doing everything that I can to manage the fly population in my own horse barn. Okay, so will there be some transfer of flies from those cattle? Sure. But at least they won't be compounded on top of flies from my own horses. So the overall fly load is going to be smaller, and it's going to be better managed by the other things that I will be deploying from my fly management toolbox. So let's talk about some of the other things that do go into a fully comprehensive fly management program. Let's talk fly predators. My husband used fly predators last summer in his cattle operation and saw a noticeable difference. So I am going to try it this year with the horses. Of course, in combination with the feed through IGR that I just mentioned. So if this is the first time that you're hearing about fly predators, or maybe you've heard them called fly parasites. Okay, this is basically a mail order service of tiny little insects that you release into the environment, and they are capable of stopping the fly's life cycle. So the species of fly predator that you get is going to vary based on the company that you're purchasing from. But the take-home point there is that none of the predators, regardless of where you purchase them from, none of them are a nuisance to people or to animals. So conceptually, they work very similarly to a feed-through IGR, but instead of feeding them to the animal, what you're doing is you're actually sprinkling these little guys directly on top of areas where maybe the manure piles up, or where there's old hay, or where there's other areas that maybe trap moisture, and I mean really anywhere that flies congregate. And so these fly predators, they actively seek out areas where flies lay their eggs, and then they themselves set up shop and lay their own eggs inside of the little cocoon that was intended to nurture the pesky fly. And that in turn then prevents that pesky little fly from ever reaching adulthood. Now there's options out there in terms of where to get your fly predators. You can either speak with a consultant, or some companies have an online calculator so that you can determine the number of predators needed based on the number of animals that you have. Okay, so every operation is going to be a little bit different. If you have more animals, you're going to have a bigger manure load. You're going to need more fly predators. So it's not just a one and done, order them. You know, you kind of have, there's some math that goes into calculating how much you need. And then once you know how much you need, it also depends where you live. So geographically, you'll want to make sure that that information is entered, or that you give that information to the consultant, because based on the temperature of your region, time of year, all of that's going to go into play into calculating how often you need your predators. And so then once you have all that information, they go on auto ship, and the right number of predators just show up on your doorstep at just the right time based on where you live, okay, your geographic location. All you have to do is go outside and sprinkle the little guys in the areas that they need to be in order to do their job. I will note that the brand that my husband used last year had a really terrible odor. Okay, like they were stinky. So I made sure that the FedEx package stayed outside whenever it arrived. I'm actually going to try a different brand for the horses this year just because I'm kind of curious about playing with the different species of insects that this other company uses. And so basically, to give you an idea, I've got shipments scheduled from April through October, and my all-in cost is about $50 a horse for the whole fly season, okay? I mean, that's the cost of two bottles of a typical fly spray, right? And not to mention, I get the added benefit of not having to actually physically spray my horse every day or have to have pesticides on my horse every day. One other thing that I liked about the company that I'm trying this year is that you can do an online calculator and you can order everything without actually having to talk to a human. So I bet half of you listening right now are thinking, what did she just say? Why would she not want to talk to a human? And the other half are like, preach, sister, I am right there with you. So my husband and I are definitely different in this regard. He wants to talk to a real life human. He wants a knowledgeable consultant. He wants that consultant to tell them everything that he needs to do. He wants them to take care of calculating the amount that he needs. And he wants them to take care of setting up his delivery schedule. Okay, he wants the person. And I'm over here like, someone, please let me do this on my own. Do not make me pick up the phone. I do not want to talk to a human. I just want to calculate my own numbers and I want to enter my credit card straight into an online checkout system. And that's what I did. So bless the web designers of the company that I went with. Thank you for making it easy on the introverts. All right, now that we've talked about two ways to stop the life cycle and prevent adult flies from actually hatching, let's talk about what we do when adult flies are already present, okay? So fly traps. These are another tool that can be super helpful when they're used properly. But you have to understand what kind of fly you're trying to trap so you know what kind of trap you need to purchase and also where you need to place it on your property. Okay, so house flies. These account for the vast majority of the fly population in your horse barn, and these are the flies that you typically are going to see on your horse's face. Now, the other type of fly, and really the more problematic, is the biting stable fly. Okay, it looks like a house fly, but it is a blood feeder, so it actually bites the horse. The stable fly actually bites the horse. Now, the way that it was explained to me is that you can kind of separate these two flies into two different categories. Flies can be either botherers or they can be biters. And house flies are a bother, but they're not actually biting your horse. On the other hand, stable flies are biters and they are truly sucking the lifeblood out of your horse. Okay. So if you have a horse that is stomping their legs, those are most likely the stable flies, the biting stable flies. And then if you have a horse with flies that are living in the corners of their eyes or just all over their face, those are most likely house flies. So the two look almost identical. It can be really hard to tell the difference. And so really what you can do is just watch what part of the body they're being drawn to. So the house flies like the sticky allergy eye drainage, and the stable flies are going for the blood in the legs and the underbelly areas. If you have house flies, okay, you can use those odor traps or you can use sticky traps. So odor traps are obviously the smelly ones that you add water to, and they're designed to actively draw in. They like actually attract house flies into them. They do not draw in or attract biting stable flies. Okay, so that's a really important call out. So it's also important to make sure that you place your odor traps in the right place. Okay. You want to use odor traps away from your barn. The reason that we do that is to draw those house flies away from the barn and away from your horses. Also, house flies are pretty specific in terms of what temperature they like what ambient temperature. So if the weather is a little bit cooler, make sure that you're hanging your odor traps in the sun. because they're going to want to be attracted to the warmth. And if you're in the middle of the summer and it's crazy hot, hang your odor traps in the shade because they're going to want to be in a little bit cooler area, and that'll improve your chances of drawing those house flies to the trap. So just remember, odor traps do not work on biting stable flies, only house flies. Sticky traps. These are another good tool. So you should use sticky traps inside your barn, and you want to use those to collect house flies that are close to your horse. So you generally want to hang your sticky traps near the horse, up high, kind of like eye level, ear level, or higher, outside of the stall, obviously, near some sunlight, definitely in a safe space where horses cannot bother the trap, okay? So houseflies hate dark, and they are attracted to light. So that's why most sticky traps are yellow. You can actually maximize a sticky trap's effectiveness if you let a little bit of light hit it, because that's going to amplify their already bright yellow color. So far, the traps that I've mentioned are only helping with houseflies, but there's another type of sticky trap that is designed specifically for those biting stable flies. And this trap is designed to be used outdoors. So the type of sticky trap designed for biting stable flies is made out of a light reflecting material. And basically what it does is it kind of creates this mirage effect, and it makes it look like the trap is emitting like radiant heat. Okay, so this then triggers the biting stable fly to go to it because it mistakenly assumes that it's a mammal radiating body heat, which normally would lead to a tasty meal of blood. However, when they land, they get stuck. End of story. So these types of sticky traps need to be placed low, all right? So no more than like 2 or 3 feet off the ground. And you want them positioned low because that's where stable flies are spending all of their time, right? Is around the horse's legs. Okay, next up, flies, sprays, and pour-ons. So we have stopped the life cycle of the adults. We are trapping the adults. Another approach is the use of topical repellents. So these would be, like I said, your fly sprays and your pour-ons. So most fly sprays and pour-ons contain pesticides that are designed to repel biting insects. There are also sprays out there with natural ingredients if you're interested in limiting the amount of chemical that you yourself handle or that is being applied directly to your horse. Since I put so many other protocols in place for fly prevention on my property, fly spray isn't necessarily a daily protocol with my horses. I do use it when a professional is going to be working on my horse, for example, like if my farrier, my vet, my dentist, you know, anyone who's going to be handling my horse, I will go ahead and use fly spray just to keep everyone comfortable. I also will use fly spray when I travel because obviously, you know, my fly prevention protocol is only good on my own property. So when I travel to shows, I will keep the fly spray on hand. And then I have young kids and I don't really like exposing them to pesticides that are found in normal fly sprays. So I do go with a pesticide-free spray that actually works. So shout out to my friend Bob Griswold for making Bobby G's fly spray. I am absolutely obsessed with that stuff. Okay, let's see what else. Oh, when I lived in a part of the country where ticks were more prominent, I used a pour-on treatment. I had a horse that would actually swell up and ooze from every spot on his body that a tick had attached to. It was so sad for him, but using a pour-on really did help keep the ticks to a minimum, especially the ones that would get, you know, lodged into like the mane and the tail area. And by doing that, it then allowed him to still be out in the pasture and under the shade trees. So there's always a fine balance in, you know, what I'm willing to do in terms of the pesticide, like whether it's a quality of life issue, you know, being out in the pasture among the trees was more important to me for that horse than, you know, being worried about putting a pesticide on him. So it's always kind of an individual choice per horse. And there's never, certainly not ever a right or a wrong answer. That's just, you know, a one answer. Every horse is going to be a little bit different. Let's see, moving on. Another tool I keep in my toolbox is wearable fly prevention. So, or protection, either way. Everyone on my place gets a set of fly boots for the fly season. This helps particularly well for the biting stable flies. So one reason I really like fly boots is because it reduces the amount of stomping that a horse does. This is important to me because every time a horse stomps, that's extra unnecessary concussion that goes through their foot and up their leg. So this is really important for older horses, especially if you have horses dealing with arthritis or joint pain, or if you have horses with poor quality hoof wall or thin soles, right? If they chip easy, if they sole bruise easy, if they just have generally poor quality feet, you want to keep their stomping to a minimum. So it's actually quite impressive how much less a horse stomps when they have a good set of fly boots on. So for, you know, $50 a horse, I make sure that everyone is in a good set of fly boots, and you definitely get what you pay for on these. I had to learn that one the hard way for sure. I also have two horses that deal with seasonal allergies, and they get weepy eyes in the spring and summer. Turns out house flies love weepy allergy eyes. So I use a face mask on those two horses, and it makes a huge difference. If you're going to use a face mask, you need to be hyper vigilant about checking that the mask, so checking the mask itself and checking under the mask every day or twice a day, every day, because little pieces of hay or grass seeds can get lodged in the mesh of that mask. And you don't want something poking them in the face or poking them in the eye. Also, while the horse can see out of the mask, you can't see in. So it's important to pull the mask off and make sure that there isn't something bad going on underneath of that mask, like a rub spot or a swollen eye. Then last on the wearables list is a fly sheet. Now, it gets really hot where I live, so if I can keep from putting a fly sheet on a horse in the middle of the day, in the middle of the summer, that's my preference. Some horses, however, are allergic to insects, so they might get welts or hives, mosquitoes, biting flies. So it's really a matter of dousing them with fly spray or using a wearable fly sheet. I make that call based on the weather conditions mostly. So I might put a fly sheet on during the night when it's cooler. But then if it's going to be really hot in the middle of the day, I'm going to pull that fly sheet and I might use, you know, my favorite Bobby G's fly spray instead. Same goes with fly sheets. Okay. If they're being used 24/7, make sure they're not rubbing your horse. Make sure that you're pulling them off daily for inspection of any oddities that they might be hiding on your horse. Last thing on my list for fly control is environmental management. This means being really strict about removing or eliminating areas that are going to allow flies, mosquitoes, and ticks to proliferate. Okay, so fly eggs need moisture to hatch. So do your very best to knock down, spread out those manure piles. If you can't remove them completely, that obviously would be first choice. Harrow your pastures. Haul manure away from your runs or from your small pens or your paddocks. Obviously clear all manure completely out of small stalls every day. Also be sure to position your muck bin or your manure pile as far away from the horses as possible. Get rid of standing water, right? Dump containers that collect rain notoriously. Flip unused water tanks over. Fill in mud holes or spots that notoriously hold water. Clean up old hay piles that are left behind from feeders or round bales, because flies will lay their eggs in decomposing hay as well, not just manure piles. Then one last thing you can do is encourage air movement in your barn. Okay, if your horses are in stalls, you can hang fans and you can get that air moving. Flies are less likely to battle strong air currents, so having a fan blowing in the stall, particularly blowing at your horse's face, can help keep flies away from your horse. In fact, if I'm going to be stalling my horse at a show, I always travel with a set of box fans so I can throw a fan in each stall and give my horses a little bit of airflow and lessen that fly burden. And then on the note of travel, be sure to clean out your horse trailer every time you unload, right? So manure left behind in the trailer is a haven for flies. So keep it clean in there. All right, I think that does it for this show. I would love to see your photos of the things that you have implemented for fly control in your own barns, in your trailers, or in your stalls when traveling. Seriously, I want to know all of the tips, tricks, hacks. So drop your comments, drop your pictures under the post for this episode on either Facebook or Instagram. And then just as a last note, if you need some help with a nutrition program, don't hesitate to reach out to the team at Bluebonnet, all right? I'm not actively taking individual consults at this time, but the Bluebonnet team is, and they are happy to help. And they, don't forget, Bluebonnet is responsible for every Feed Room Chemist episode being available to you at no cost. So go show them some love. Lastly, again, come hang out with me on social media. You can find me by searching Dr. Jimmy Feed Room Chemist. Tag me on your own post. Use my handle at Dr. Jimmy. I promise that I am trying to make my social pages as to continue to be a source of positivity and empowerment and continued learning. There are no bad questions. There is no drama on my channel. So if that sounds like the kind of environment that you would enjoy, I would love to have you in the community.